In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, we've been there for a couple of weeks or so. Let's go back there. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to begin our reading this morning at verse number 32. Hebrews chapter 10. For those of you who are sharing with us for the first time in some time, our theme for this year is affected by an experience to change. And this particular experience is one of praise. And we've been talking for the past few weeks about products of praise. If you would just stay with me just a moment here, beginning at verse number 32. Hebrews is one of them books is kind of stuck in between some little epistles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to 32. Verse 33 says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man deny, draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. You may be seated. For ye have need of confidence that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Listen, after you have done the will of God, you shall receive the promise. After you have done the will of God, you shall receive promise. Now, I said that this was products of praise. This is part four. But I want to talk to us this morning about words that should prompt a praise, part three. Words that should prompt a praise.
Right.
Just a word, something that is spoken, something that is written, something that would move us to give God some glory, to give him some honor, and to give him some praise. We talked a couple of weeks ago about a tremendous word of welcome. That word was a welcome for us, believing saints of God, to make our way into the very presence of an almighty God. that we don't have to wait on the priest. We don't have to wait on nobody to go in and speak on our behalf. Jesus invites us, our high priest, he invites us in, all the way in, behind the curtain, behind the veil. He invites us in. You don't have to wait. He's already given. Mm-hmm. Preaching back then. You don't have to wait for the invitation. That's what you said?
Right, right.
He's already given it. He's welcoming us into his very presence. And not just here, but up in heaven. There is a welcome for us, saints of God, that will find us in heaven somewhere around the throne.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And that ought to shout somebody. You ought to be excited about the fact that Jesus would not leave you out there. He would not leave you alone. He will go get you, tell you to come on in. Now the problem is that he tells us to come in and we won't come in. Come on in. Come on in. You're welcome in. Now, that was exciting enough for me for 3-4 weeks right there. That we were welcome in. What a word. Last week the word wasn't an easy word. It was a hard word. It's a terrible word of warning. That there was a warning that went forth, and if you know like I know, I'm excited about somebody that's going to give me a word that's going to keep me out of trouble, even though I'm not going to like the word that they're giving
me. That's right.
That there's a warning that is going forth for the believer to let you know that if you keep playing with God,
come on.
Those are the people who are... we were talking about apostasy. Those people who are talking God but not walking God.
Right, come on.
That's what it is. It was a terrible word of warning, but today. Somebody said today.
Today,
very quickly, as quickly as I can, I want to give us a timely word of wisdom.
Right.
We need some wisdom. And it's a simple word. I have to make it simple. I've got to move kind of quickly, but here it is, that the word is for the believer that you still should think about your past. I know y'all want to leave the past in the past, and that's wonderful. Leave the past in the past, but every now and then you got to go back and get that word from the past. Don't stay back there. You go back there, realize what had happened back then. He wants to remind us of some things.
Mm-hmm.
Now that reminder is what should shout you.
Come on, man.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because it was in the past.
Yeah.
It's not right now. It was in the past. And so here he is. He talks to us about past events in these few verses here in chapter number 10, around verse number 32. He reminds them of the persecution that had overtaken them. They had been going through a whole lot of hardships and whatnot. They had already endured some fearful persecution. Because of their profession of faith in Christ. Y'all don't get it. The thing about it is, it's not going to be easy walking this walk of Christ, of Christianity. You start talking about Christ and you're going to start having a difficult time.
Right.
And here it is, he says that they, because of their profession of faith, because of them claiming the name of Christ, they had some fearful persecutions that come upon them. And he says, you need to remember it. Look at it, verse number 32. Call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions.
Yes.
Yeah, fight. Listen, he says you endured a great fight of afflictions.
Uh-huh.
That there were those that were coming against you time and time again, and you made it through.
Yes.
Shout moment. Yes. You gotta remember that you know darkness doesn't like light. It hates light.
Amen.
Yeah, and the early church in Jerusalem ran into persecution almost from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Oh my God, from the very beginning they were in trouble. The sufferings of the believers to whom this writer is talking to today had been severe. He had gone through a whole lot of things, and he calls this thing a great fight of afflictions. Now, what that says to me, it just hit to me right now. The very fact that you did not allow it to overtake you, to take you out.
Yeah.
You put up your dukes and went to fighting back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of tuck tail and running, you began to come on, put them up and go on and knock them down.
Right.
My daddy would say, he said, the bigger they come, the harder they fall.
Yeah.
He was a small man, but that's how he would talk. The bigger they come, the harder they fall. He said, listen, y'all, you had to endure a whole lot of afflictions. You endured them. Look at it. It's an ED on that word. Past tense. I'm talking about your past. If you would go back just a minute, think about some stuff in your past, some victories that you won. You didn't think you was going to win them, but you did. You think about some stuff that you overcame. You thought it was going to take you out, but they didn't. You've got to think about your past. The writer says, call to your remembrance. I heard the worship leader talking about y'all don't know when to praise him. You ain't got nothing to praise him. Praise him for your past. Praise him for your past. Praise him that your past didn't take you out.
Woo,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Judaism arose with great hate against the church. There was a whole lot of hate against the church, and the spirit that led the Jews to reject the Lord Jesus as their Messiah led them to reject him as Savior. You know, they rejected him as their Savior. And there was a problem. Listen, he begins to share with us in other writings some of the people who were all in for the Lord had to suffer mighty great persecutions. Peter and John were arrested for healing a lame man in the name of Jesus. The apostles were beaten for preaching the gospel of Christ. Stephen was martyred. James was beheaded. Come on. Peter was in prison. And then the brilliant militant Sanhedrin commissioned Saul of Tarsus to go uproot the church at home and everywhere else. Just go take them out. So the writer here wants to remind his readers of the sufferings they had borne because of their enlightenment, because they were able to see Christ, because they were able to see the Spirit of the Lord moving, and they embraced it and began to speak on it. They endured great suffering. They had shown the faith of Christ to sinners. Y'all, listen, saints of God, you got to be able to show Christ to the sinners.
That's right.
But listen, you can't show something to the sinners when you sinning worse than they are.
That's right.
But there's a responsibility that we have to show the faith of Christ to sinners. Verse 33, the eclogue said they had been made a gazing stock. Y'all know what that is? That word, it comes from this word, tetris. That's where we get our word, we get our word theater. It's as if he has been, you've been put on stage.
That's right.
And they've been watching you. They're looking at you. And y'all know what hecklers are? You on the stage and you ain't doing a good job.
Yeah.
And they are railing, throwing railings at you. They are throwing objects at you. That's what they're doing in the midst of your testimony, in the midst of you trying to tell somebody about Jesus. They are beginning to go out. This is a frustrated, infuriated audience who don't want to hear what you got to say. But they had shown their faith to Christ, to sinners. Now, what that means is that though you threw your tomatoes at me, yeah, I still stand for Jesus. Yeah. Though you threw slanderous words at me, Jesus is still my Savior. You've got to be able to show your faith in Christ to the sinner. That don't make no difference how you come at me. God still on the throne. And God still my friend. Glory to God. Yeah, in the persecution that they were having to deal with, they also shared the faith of Christ with the saints. Not only do you need to share the faith of Christ with the sinner, you need to share it with the saints. And the best place you can share your faith is when you're with the saints.
Right.
When do we come together? Oh my God, Sundays, Tuesdays. Anytime with the people of God come together, you ought to be there to share your faith. You got to share the faith of Christ. And they shared it in such a practical way by becoming, still in verse 33, becoming companions of them that were so used. They had taken compassion on those who had been imprisoned for the confession of their faith.
Yeah.
An act of singular courage. They had courage, and since they want to show you compassion. You know why? Because they know if they're coming after you, they'll come after me.
Right.
And I got to encourage you. I've got to comfort you. I've got to be there for you, because just like they coming at you, they will come at me. Yeah. He said that I'm the next in line for the persecution. And in the midst of all these things, they had been lifted up by their persuasion that the gospel is true.
Yeah.
That's what helps you when you understand that the gospel, the word of God, is true.
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Savior, and the Son of God. And that they had found the substance behind all the shadows of their former faith. They realized that when they had faith that yonder, and that faith worked out, that I can have faith today and faith will work out. They had carefully balanced in their minds earthly loss against eternal gain. You gotta figure out that some stuff you might lose here, but the stuff that you're going to gain up there,
yeah,
they do not compare. Yeah, they had taken the spoiling of their possessions joyfully, knowing they had a better possession and abiding one in Christ. Yeah, these Hebrews believers, you got to think about your past. They had already taken great strides. If you begin to think about your past, you already know that the Lord has brought you from a mighty long way. When you look to your past, you begin to recognize that He kept you through dangers. Y'all better help me preach in here. You gotta look at your past and recognize that I was down and He picked me up. Glory to the Lamb of God. You got to look at your past. That's the good word of wisdom, y'all, because your past will help your present and get you to your future. But not just their past. They should also think about, this is the writer, it's St. Jackson, it's in the book. They should also think about their present condition. Come on here, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience.
Yes, Lord.
Ooh, that after ye have done the will of God,
uh-huh,
ye might receive the promise.
Yeah.
Listen, he says, boldness in the face of opposition is what we really need. You got to have boldness and patience. I mean, one of them is a real cuss word. Patience. You got to be bold and patient in the face of opposition. That though the enemy is coming at you and you know that's him, you stand up against him and you wait on God to fight your battle. Oh my God. You got to have boldness and patience. That's what you need. One of Satan's favorite tactics is to wear out the saints of God. Whew, they want to wear out the Most High. What are you talking about, Reverend? They want to mess you up so bad that you fall down and don't think that you can get back up. Oh, you can, but by the time he gets to wearing your tail out, you want to go keep on laying down. Is anybody in here? That's what the enemy, his greatest, that's what he does. Because that's why you got to have patience. You got to have boldness and patience. Because he keeps coming. He's going to keep coming at you. He's going to keep coming at you. He's going to keep coming at you. And every time he keep coming, you keep standing. You keep standing. You keep standing. If he knock you down, get back up. Get back up. Get back up. It's because your boldness and your patience with God, not with the enemy. Yeah. Hear me. You're not being patient with the devil. You being patient with a loving God. Got to be patient with him. I talked about John Bunyan before in here all the time. He was in a long time in the Bedford jail. And he became very productive in jail. You know, he could have been pacing the floor. He could have been worrying and having all kind of issues and whatnot. But no, he took a pen and some paper and start writing books. He wrote the best, he began to write words like this. As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where was a den. And I laid me down in that place to sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a man clothed with rags standing in a certain place with his face from his own house, a book in his hand, and a great burden upon his back. His cell became the den, where he wrote the great classic, The Pilgrim's Progress. When you get back to the text, he says that ye might receive the promise after you've done the will of God. That you might receive the promise is what the writer is saying here. He is about, y'all, just a few more verses, he'll jump over to chapter 11. He's about to compose a whole nother situation about some Old Testament saints and begin to talk about how they dared to believe God in spite of their circumstances and how they triumphed gloriously. That's what he's getting ready to talk about. Here it is. He says, you got to think about your past. You need to think about your present, what's going on right now. Here it is. He says, you also need to think about your prospect. Watch God. When we get back here next week, that's where we're going. We begin to talk about our potential. The potential that we went, that's going to be our next season, being affected by an experience to change. Even your potential, who will affect you when you come to embrace it? Jesus. Y'all ready to eat? Come on. Here it is. He says that in verse number 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. And will not tarry. Yeah, he says, y'all need to think about the Lord's return. You got to start thinking about him coming. And that ought to shout you. Come on, I'm trying to find somebody that want to praise God. You praise him that he's coming. He's coming again. Here, look at the text. It says, a little while.
Little while.
Yeah, it seems so long to us. A little while seems a whole lot, a long time to us. The centuries have come and gone, and it seems such a long, long, long time since the promise was given. But the Spirit says it is just a little while. In light of eternity, my brothers and sisters, what is a couple of thousand years? When you begin to think about that thing, and if it was viewed as a little while in the first century of the Christian era, what must it be today when on every hand it looks like we're seeing the end times? Whew, in a little while, it's going to be just a little while. Oh my God, the clue to boldness and patience in the face of opposition is to look for Christ's soon return. That's how you can be bold. That's how you can be patient, because you know Jesus is on the way back. But in the meantime, somebody said, in the meantime, our lives need to be kept under constant review. You got to keep reviewing your life. Review your past. Look at what's going on right now. You ought to get some prophetic vision and see what God is getting ready to do in your future. He begins to close this epistle by drawing a contrast and by stating a confidence. Contrast and confidence. He uses that little bitty word, but to summarize everything that he's saying. Right here, he says, verse number 38, now the just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is faith that keeps us from apostasy. I told y'all last week, apostasy. That I kind of alluded to it in the beginning of this sermon. It's that you talking, but you ain't walking. You talking about it, but you ain't being about it. So you talking a good game. You say, yeah, and you hang out with the saints. And you think just because you in the crowd that everybody else is going to think you won them. But you will not make it in. That's the warning that you got last week. So he quotes from a familiar passage from Habakkuk, a verse picked up by the Holy Spirit and dropped into the New Testament three different times. And each time the verse emphasized a different clause. In Romans 1 and 17, he talks about the just. In Galatians 3 and 11, he talks about shall live. Oh my God. And here we are in Hebrews 10 and 38, he talks about by faith. It is faith that draws the line of separation between the apostate and the true believer. Because the apostate has neither the faith nor the faithfulness to continue. So he draws back. And in doing so, he incurs God's active displeasure. God is just not happy with you. But it is the true believer that takes a fresh look at the Lord Jesus and reaffirms his faith. Oh my God, I begin to look at Jesus, and sometimes I got to look at him in his word. Sometimes I got to look at him in what he says. And when I look at him in his word and I look at him in what he says, it reaffirms my faith in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
The emphasis on faith is the vital ingredient this writer gives us so that we can make it in these last and evil days. And so, having warned again about the danger of apostasy, the writer states his absolute confidence in his Hebrew brothers in the faith. But, y'all, there it is again. I'm in verse 39. But he talks about, first of all, he talks about those people who are apostates, full of apostasy. They gonna turn back when it gets too hot in the kitchen. But he said, that's not us. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Y'all know what perdition is? Hell. I'm sorry. You not like them because the drawbackers find themselves in hell. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's who we are. We are believers unto the saving of the soul. They, that's emphatic and differentiates between true believers and the empty people who profess to be believers. Because perdition, my brothers and sisters, is not for the child of God. We're not going to find ourselves in hell. And so he concludes here. He has demonstrated great truths concerning the superior person of Christ. He has discussed at great length Calvary's superior provisions by showing that both in his preeminence and in his priesthood, the Lord Jesus is a better Savior. He has shown that because of Calvary, we have not only a better Savior, but a better security, a better sanctuary, and a better sacrifice. Better, it's better, y'all. It's better than anything found in Hebrew religion. He has introduced three warnings in the passage, two of them major importance to prove that the seeker, those who go after God, who seek after the truth, has everything to gain by going on and everything to lose by drawing back. As we celebrate 124 years of ministry and service unto God here at the Chapman Grove Baptist Church, you cannot draw back. You've got to go forward. Yeah, because you gave everything to gain.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
We can't lose.
Amen.
With the Lord. Draw back, we will lose. We go forward in Jesus and victory. I like that one. Victory belongs to me. You can say it for yourself. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. It is even. I can shout over my past because it's in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I shout over what he brought me out of, what he brought me through, what he kept me from. Because some of y'all was kept from some stuff.
Yes.
Woo.
Amen.
And I shout in my presence because I know he's with me.
Yes.
And where I find myself, I know that I have victory in the name of Jesus. When I began to look at the stuff that is on the way, the very fact that I have victory in Jesus down here on this earth, but I'm going to celebrate with the Father and Jesus the Son with the Holy Ghost up in glory with Mama and Daddy and them and everybody else that's gone on before. That is enough to shout about. That's what we give God glory for. There's a product that's already been made and laid out that gives us good reason. So bless God. He's given us a word of wisdom.
Yes. Thank you.
Look at your past. Don't go back there. Look back there.
Right.
Take a glance. I thank y'all for helping me preach this morning. Look at your present. When you look at your present,
Your present speaks to the fact that you're not back there. That's another good reason. Y'all pity pat God if you want to, but that's another good reason to shout. Because I'm not where I used to be. But he says, you don't stop with your past and your present. You got to look toward your future. Look to what is already. Now see, some people say, we don't know what the future holds, but what I know is that I'm going to be with Jesus one day. I'm going to be up in glory. I'm going to be blessing him up in glory one of these other days. That piece right there is enough for me to shout that I'm not going to bust hell wide open. I'm not going to live in torment. I'm going to live with Jesus. So I can shout because what's going on right now ain't got nothing to do with what's going to be going on after a while. Because he's already spoken the word that you will make it in. Isn't that a good word?
Yes.
For you to look? That's some good wisdom. Do one of them numbers. Sometimes you gotta look real quick. Don't stare.
Right.
Look. Do it. Okay. A quick look will tell you you don't want to go back there. And right here, look around. God, thank you. And if you could bring me from back there to right here, and you still work with me, where you about to take me is I can't even imagine. He says you can't. I have not seen.
Right.
Ear has not heard. It hasn't even entered into your heart the things that God has in store for you, for them that love it. And that's a shout moment. That's the reason that I want to praise him. Because as much as I've seen him bring me through, as much as I've seen him bring me out, as much as I've seen him drop in my lap, it's even more for me in store. He has stored up some stuff waiting on you. Got your name on it.
Yes.
And can't nobody else bother. I don't care if they beat you up there. Your stuff is waiting on you. Take a look. Take a look. And take a look. That's the word of wisdom. Timely word of wisdom for the saints of God. It's a timely word for the ain'ts of God.
Amen.
As well. Because you can get on in. Get on this right now. I'm through. Doors of the church are open.
Amen.
As we stand all over the building. Hear the wonderful word of God.